background when I talk about labels. Oops, let's put the platform there. I've got my book of baby names, so you may actually be in it. Whether I can read it or not is something else, but we'll go for it. Otto, come out here a minute, mate. Do you know what your name means?
No.
Your name means riches, okay? So if you want a loan, see Otto afterwards, all right? Nathan. Oh, Nathan's coming up as well. Come on out, Nathan. Do you know what Nathan means?
Yes. Oh.
Gift from God. There you go. They say gifts come in little packages. There's bigger gifts in bigger packages. Jago, do you know what your name means? You've got a choice. You can have the Arabic version or the German version. The Arabic version means flower, as in a man of the mill, a miller. Or the German version means a soldier. You can be a warrior. Your choice. In fact, you can find, thank you, Jago. You can find Jago that has got lots of different meanings. So what have we got here? No, I said, see, that's Milo. Milo, come here. You're the soldier or you're the miller, okay? Jago means, according to my book, a supplanter. That means one who rules. So do you boss your brothers about? Not yet. Thank you, go sit down. What else have we got here? We've got, we have Jonah this week, that means dove. We had Stephen, that means crown. And we had Marion, a variation of Mary, which means bitter. Yeah. We had Linda. You know what Linda means? It's of the German. Serpent. Just saying, Linda. We had Trevor, but I can't read my writing. Oh, yeah. And we had Kevin. Where's Kevin? I saw Kevin come in. Kevin, where are you? You know what your name means, Kev? Handsome at birth. We're not quite sure what happened since birth, but handsome at birth, according to my book of names, okay? I've got two of these. If you want to find out the meaning of your name, have a look afterwards, all right? And you can look up some of those embarrassing middle names. Every name, of course, has a meaning. Must be Zappa. There it is. Including my own. My own name is Gordon. I hated my name as a kid. And Gordon was just so very, very boring. There was no famous Gordons around apart from one footballer, Gordon Hill. So I hated my name as a kid. I love it as an adult because wherever I go, I never meet anyone called Gordon. So if I'm in a room, if I'm on a camp of 100 people or whatever, if I hear my name, I know they're talking about me. So as an adult, it's good. But Gordon is just a boring name. Gordons were a clan, a tribespeople in the Aberdeenshire, Scotland. We have our own tartan, Gordon Tartan. We have our own motto, by Dan, which means remaining. And then people say, when he gets preaching, boy, does he live up to that? He just seems to be there forever. And so we have our own motto, we have our own tartan, we have our own army regiment. So it's a boring name, it's just a clan name. My middle name is Mark. And Mark's a bit more meatier. It means warlike. So if you want to mess with me, actually I'm the big coward, I'll be first running out the car park. But I like to think I make war against the evils of society. I fight on the side of Jesus. So my middle name, Mark, just means warlike, fighter, soldier in that sense. Now, we're going to think, and we've been thinking all week of the name Jesus. Just like every other name, the name Jesus has a meaning. And it was a very popular name at the time of Jesus. It was as popular as perhaps John or Andrew was. Many, many people bore this name, and it had a significant meaning. Now, in the Bible, different people had names to describe them. The saddest name in the Bible, I think, is a man called Ichabod. Strange name, Ichabod. And Ichabod means that God's presence has departed. God's glory is gone. And it was used to talk about the people of God who were supposed to be following God, who had turned their back on God. And God gave them a man called Ichabod as a symbol, a sign to say, this man is a picture of the nation. They've turned their back on God. God's presence, God's glory has gone. What a burden that man had to carry around with him. The longest name in the Bible is my favorite. When I go into Starbucks, and they say, "What's your name?" I look the person in the eye and I say, "Mahershal Al Hashbash," which gets one of two reactions. Normally they give me, "What?" or they give me a smile. Some people actually try and write it on the page. It's 26 letters long. So I used to embarrass my kids for that, unless I really wanted to embarrass them. And then if my kids were with me when they were younger, and the man in Starbucks would say, "What's your name?" I'd say, "Very nice man." And they said, "Pardon, Mr. Very Nice Man." And it was just nice at the end of the queue when someone held up a coffee and said, "Mr. Very Nice Man." And my kids would just go red and think, "Oh, Dad, Dad." But you've got to have a laugh, haven't you? But Mahershal Al Hashbaz is the longest name in the Bible. And it means quick to the plunder, swift to the spoils. Quick to the plunder, swift to the spoils. He was a kind of a rogue, an Arthur Daly, a del boy, out to make money, by the sounds of it. Well, that's what his name meant. The name Jesus, like all names, has a meaning. And it simply means rescuer, saviour. If you translate the name Jesus, in fact, in Hebrew, it's Yeshua. It's Yeshua. So if you want to be pedantic, the proper way to say the name of Jesus is to say Yeshua. Yeshua. If it's translated into Greek, it becomes Isus or Jesus. Our New Testament was written in Greek. That's why we have the name Isus or Jesus when we say it. If you translate Yeshua directly into English, it becomes the name Joshua. Joshua. So anyone you know called Joshua has the same name as Jesus, the same root meaning. So whether you say the Greek version, Isus or Jesus, the Hebrew version, Yeshua, or the English version, Joshua, it doesn't matter. Because it always has the same meaning. All of those names simply mean saviour or rescuer. Saviour, rescuer. That is why he came. Quite often on a Sunday afternoon, I zoom up to London. And I love the hustle and the bustle of London. But I go to one particular area of London called Hyde Park. And in one area of Hyde Park is what is called Speaker's Corner. And for about 180 years, people have been meeting in Speaker's Corner to debate and to chat and to promote whatever you want. So you get politicians there today. For example, Jeremy Corbyn's brother will be there talking about society must never go cashless. And he's got a big campaign on at the moment to keep cash. Don't go electric. You've got to have cash. And him and his supporters will deliberately go into a shop later on and try and buy stuff with their pennies and their coins just to cause confusion. So politicians go there and they preach about their causes. The weird and the wonderful are there, the Flat Earth Society. There are people there today who believe the Earth is flat. And they've got a great argument, and they're very popular. They have members all around the globe, trust me. So the Flat Earth Society will be there today. And then there'll be religious people. Christians like myself, I'm not there today, but I will be back next week, and I was there last week, and there'll be many, many Muslims. And the predominant group are Muslims. For every Christian, there's about 8 Muslims. So we're outnumbered, but we enjoy a chat, an opportunity to debate, to chat, and to share, to swap ideas, what we believe in, why you're wrong and I think I'm right, etc., etc. But one thing Muslims can't understand is this. If you talk about Jesus, they say again and again, "Oh, he's the prophet. Yeah. God sent a prophet." No, he didn't. When you read the Bible, it's very clear. God sent a saviour, a rescuer. We've got a book full of prophets. Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, endless prophets. So God didn't send another prophet with Jesus. He sent a rescuer, a saviour, someone who could do for us what no prophet could do before. That's why we don't need another prophet, because in Jesus, everything is fulfilled and complete. God sent a rescuer, a saviour. And that was the angelic message we enjoyed at Christmas. Matthew 1:21. Give him the name Jesus. Mary and Joseph would have scratched their head. Why? No one in our family has that name. Ah, but it's descriptive of why the child has come. For he will save, he will rescue his people from their sins. And so the name Jesus, Yeshua, simply means Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. And that's why he came. And it's all focused on Jesus. We've been teaching the kids this week, the Bible's in two halves. Do you remember the two halves, guys? Otto? The Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament written before Jesus came to earth, and it kind of points forward, the Messiah's coming. Don't miss him. And it's pictures and shadows and types, all and prophecies, all pointing forward to the Messiah who's coming. And then the four Gospels in the New Testament point back to Jesus, say he came. Believe in him, trust in him. And then the letters tell us to how we can live for him. And then the book of Revelation even points out what will happen in the future. So the Old Testament points forward to Jesus. The New Testament kind of points back to Jesus and instructs us how we can follow him now. Hey, he is a saviour, a rescuer to those who trust him. And as that little video reminds us, we need a rescuer because of sin. The Bible says that when Jesus died upon the cross, he rescues us from the punishment of sin. Now, we're used to that, aren't we, in society? In the home, if you miss about as a child, go to your room. You're not having your phone for a week. You're grounded. All sorts of punishments. When I was a kid, it was a clip round the ear. But different punishments for different crimes. You know, in society, if you break the rules of society, you are finished. There are people who kill themselves today because they have broken the law. They've broken the rules. Punishment. The Bible says God loves us, but he's also just and holy. And sin deserves to be punished. And the wage of the sin is death. Not what God wants, but it's a natural consequence. When you get home today, you take off your clean clothes later on today, you won't put them in with the clean clothes in your wardrobe. You'll put them in the wash basket, ready to be made clean. Put your dirty clothes with your clean clothes, everything becomes contaminated. And the holy God can't just accept anyone into heaven until they're cleansed and washed. So Jesus came to die so that we don't have to have the punishment of sin. He bore our punishment in his own body on the cross. He died to break the power of sin so that we don't carry on the same old way we used to be before we encountered Jesus. And sin is something that often binds people up. She said, anyone who sins becomes a slave to sin. Bad habits, bad attitudes, bad actions. Spoils people's lives. Where do we get the power to change? We find that in the person and through the death of Jesus Christ. He takes someone like me, who was a thief and a liar and a cheat, and he makes us honest. And he speaks the truth. And then he saves us from one day, even the very presence of sin. The Bible says, although we still have faults, one day when we die, we'll be in his presence and we'll be changed like him. Perfect. So salvation is an ongoing process. It deals with the past, it helps us in the present, and it prepares us for the future. How does it happen? Because God sent a rescuer, a saviour, Jesus. So this morning, I haven't tried to be complicated, but I do want to kind of hit the nail on the head and say, look, are you saved? Can you say this morning, not I'm a churchgoer, not I believe, not I'm a nice person, not I'm better than those across the road. Can you say, hey, I am a true follower of Jesus. I know my sins are forgiven. I know that each day I'll live for him. I know that one day I shall be with him forever. If not, why not make sure? Why not invite Christ into your heart and life, even this morning, here and now? Let's pray, shall we?